All right, we're back into the 14th chapter of Revelation tonight. And last week, I was so grateful to God that we were ministered by the Spirit these deep things, and how wonderful and incredible it is that these seven angels that we've been seeing throughout the Word of God, we know without doubt at all, this is the bridal company. Another vision, as we've seen the bridal company as the four living ones, we've seen them as these seven angels. We'll see that she's going to be the Lamb's wife descending from heaven. So there's these different visions of her by John. John, again, is only able to interpret and to receive what the Spirit is having him to write. But he's seen so many magnificent, manifold visions. And I love that. And yet, John is writing these things down. And here we, in this day, in this age, and what has been given to us as well, too, this wonderful full dispensation, that we have Paul's gospel, those glasses or goggles, if you will, to look and to peer into this amazing event, and an event, praise God, that I'm hoping and praying that we see ourselves taking part, not just someday, but truly in that encouragement that, Lord, this is taking part now. Not that these things are going on now, but my heart in ready and preparedness is in joy and anticipation, as I always appreciated Brother Hill saying, as he lived that day waiting and longing and loving the appearing of the Lord, he said it was almost as good as being there. Because you're so in love, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing like being together, I get that. But to be in love like that, that's the whole point. And that's the transcending. That's what, again, it transforms us from that glory to glory. We begin to see that glory. That glory begins to live in us. It transforms us, praise God, into a readied wife. Hallelujah. Not just a story, but my proposal, praise God, and something that I've received. And by the grace of God, yes, I will go. The I do, as we've been encouraged and has been proposed to us many times throughout this Revelation study, the I do happens now. That's not for a later date. I do is now. So I'm thanking God that, again, by that great grace, we're entering into that place of the readied wife. Praise his name. So we saw, again, last week, these seven angels, the bridal company, these wonderful redeemed saints. Remember how we went over to those two wonderful points and examples where John, later on in our study, finds himself bowing down and worshiping one of the seven. And that angel gets after John, picks him up. John, see that you do this not. Don't do this, John. I'm redeemed. I'm one of your brethren. And I love that, the encouragement there. But see, John, one again that knew Jesus physically, probably like very few people ever knew him, laid his head upon his breast, saw him, touched him, held him, the disciple that Jesus loved. And yet, here John is, worshiping, praise God, a brother in the Lord. But again, the beauty of it, don't get mad at John, the beauty, the excitement of it all is that bridal company will be like the Lord. And until John has a body like unto his own glorious body, John wouldn't be able to decipher, see? And so this is a wonderful encouragement to us who believe, is it not? So we're thankful to God in that. But here again, this incredible reality, brothers and sisters, the incredible reality of jointly ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ. It's exactly what it says. It's exactly what it means. Glorified together, the same glory. He shares that jointly, freely, together with her. It is. It takes your breath away. It stops everything. It's just, you talk about that fear of God, meaning the reverence to him, the awe of God to love me like that, to, again, in join me into that wonderful, incredible grace that transforms this life to love the Lord, hallelujah, in that capacity. So we thank God for this. But what we're seeing here as we've ventured into this 14th chapter, these seven angels, this company, again, the seven represents this completion, perfect, maturity, all of that. It's a company of these angels which represents the bride of Christ, which is the bride of Christ, begins to pour out the judgment in the latter half of the tribulation. The tribulation being this 7-year period of time, and this last 3.5 years, we're entering into that. And tonight we're going to pick it up in the 14th verse of the 14th chapter, and we're moving right into the very heart of the battle of Armageddon, the bride's monumental working with her husband, the Lamb of God, to bring forth all of the judgment that will hit the world. And praise be to God. What a day that will be. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and read verses 14 through 16 together. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So here we begin with this wonderful vision of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sitting upon this cloud, the Son of Man, his head crowned with that golden crown. He now has taken all authority, and in his hand is this sharp sickle. In Joel 3:13, it says there that the harvest is ripe, the wickedness is great. I love that. And we're fast approaching that, are we not? You think of how, the wickedness of this world, the absolute defiance of God. Everything is about man. Everything is about man's desire. Everything is about man's wants. Everything is about man's feeling. Man is man's God. They know, and as the Lord said in Romans 1, when they knew that he was God, they didn't give him the glory, and neither were they thankful. So we're moving into, they're not giving him glory, and now we're moving into about the most unthankful time we've ever been in our world's history. And it is amazing, isn't it? Because we're at a time in history, there's really the most abundance on the earth of the things that can be made and produced and all of this, but yet that will never satisfy, will it? You know, and I know we still have people that are starving and hungry, but we have far less people that are in that situation because of technology, because of the way that we can grow things and crops and all of these different things. But it doesn't mean people are becoming more satisfied. You'll never be satisfied without the Lord. The only thing that'll happen to you without the Lord is you'll become more angry. You'll become more unsettled. You become more unsatisfied. And that war that's in the heart of every man, that's what begins to come out. And that's what you're starting to see. You're starting to see a warring world. People are unsettled. People that thought, maybe people that were, they're kind and nice and peaceful and all that. Let me tell you something. There ain't no peace but Jesus. And there ain't no peace without grace. And when you reject Jesus, you've rejected grace. And once you reject grace, you have no peace. So you can connect all that by the grace of God and the Word of God. And this is where we're at. And this is why this is so exciting. Because we're about to step into this time of the wickedness is great. Like we've read the last couple weeks in this study that we've had. There will never be a time of such sorrow and suffering and wickedness and hate and war and bloodshed and just absolute complete demonic possession as will come upon the earth at this time. And you think of all the things that have happened upon this earth and all of the horrible events and tragedies and killings and murders and mass genocide of people. It still will not compare with this time that shall come. And it is truly gaining upon us moment by moment. So praise the Lord. And when we see these things, it is time to look up. Praise God. So this speaks of the judgment. But notice here, what is so beautiful is it's not until another angel comes. Did you notice that in verse 15? So we have this wonderful picture of our Lord and Savior. He's on this cloud. His head is crowned with that golden crown. He's got the sickle. He's ready to judge. But he's not going to do that until verse 15, until another angel. I just rejoice in that. I think, what incredible grace and what incredible love. He loves her so much. Honey, I'm not doing this alone. He's waiting right now to take the throne, and the only thing that's holding that back is his bride, his wife. And praise be to God, this is why she was there. He's not going to gather her up and all of that and say, okay, by the way, honey, you just wait here. I'm going out and doing this. Oh, no, we're doing this together. This is jointly ruling and reigning together. And I just, again, it is. It's beyond words. It beyond even feeling. But thanks be to God for the spiritual emotion he gives us as we have faith to believe this. But again, in verse 15, one of the seven angels, where does that angel come out of? The temple. Isn't that beautiful? The temple, again, speaking of the holiest place, the holy of holies. And I want to stress one time again, the Philadelphia church, does it say, of all those churches, is made that pillar in the very temple of God. Speaking again of the full overcomer. I love that. In a sense, you talk about the pillar. And I know you have to know this. We're nothing but for God. We know we have no strength but for God. But you think of but God and what he can make in our lives when we believe the whole counsel of God and lay hold of it. We're part, hallelujah, of that wonderful foundation. That's what the pillars are. And they're beautiful and they're ornate and they hold up the structure as they sit upon the foundation. And you think about how sweet, as I mentioned, you know, when I went through Italy and we stopped in every one of those Duomos, those incredible works of art. Yeah, there are cathedrals, I get it, and I understand that. What goes on in there isn't a good thing, but the actual art is absolutely incredible. And how those pillars and how ornate they would be. And some of them had such decorations and different things. And I was thinking again about how the Word of God says that basically the ornaments that he puts upon his bride, that how she's showered with that beauty and the encouragement and the cherubim that's even on the pillars and all of those different things. I mean, we could go into Isaiah and Ezekiel and the Kings and Chronicles, and it's just amazing what you see and all of the detail and all of the bridal type to us who believe of how much he loves us. You talk about the depth and the line upon line and line upon line and how do I love you? Line upon line and line upon line, all of those ways, because my ways are love. And it's just incredible how God does this. So that's that wonderful encouragement that this angel comes out of the temple. And it's not until the angel comes out, and you'll notice that angel comes out crying with a loud voice, that trumpeter's voice that is like him, that kind of a voice, to him, our wonderful Lord, as he sits there with that sickle, but he does not thrust it in until his joint heir, his wife, says, thrust in and reap. I think that's just incredible. It's not that she's telling the Lord what to do, but she's encouraging him. She's given him such encouragement that it is the will of God. It's the Word of God, and they're participating in this, praise be to God, together. Think about the virtuous woman there in Proverbs. It says that the heart of the husband doth trust in her. Isn't that incredible? Now, you know that's the grace of God. The Lord has no business to trust in me. None, nor you. But in that wonderful grace, in this wonderful word of his grace, this effectual working, let me tell you something. The one thing he knows faith. And he gives it. And in that believing, praise the Lord, that transformation. He sees the heart. He knows that heart. Why do you think he kept dealing with David? Every man that ever saw David on his outward appearance would have just thrown him right in the trash after the things he did. But God, that's my man. He's got my heart. He's after my very heart. And this is what's so beautiful, if we'll just pay attention to the Word of God. Hallelujah. So it's time to reap, and she encourages that. Now, if you remember back to the Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 11, we have a lot to cover tonight. It's so exciting that we have a lot to cover tonight. But in the Song of Solomon, 7:11, you can always remember that. 7:11, Song of Solomon. And then you can go to the 12th verse, too. But I love this because this is kind of that honeymoon time. And see, we're in a sense, this honeymoon time because the bride is there. She's been with him. Remember, we had silence in heaven, so the consummation was there. And now we're having the celebration time. And you think about all of these wonderful events. I guess I pray that our hearts get romantic with the Lord. Let him spiritualize in your heart through the word of God these events and the meaning of them to you. It's a very personal thing. But in 7:11, let's even go back to 10. She says, I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. She gets it, doesn't she? Praise God. She realizes it's all of him and it's all his love. It's all his desire, so I'm just going to shut up and be loved. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? She says, come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. See, she gets encouragement in that. She gets bold in the Lord. And this is speaking again of that future time. This time we're talking about, come, my beloved, let us go into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grapes appear and the pomegranates bud forth, and there will I give thee my loves. It's incredible, brothers and sisters, because I see in that this time, praise God, of excitement of the bride and the bridegroom. Now, a lot of people will talk about this and say, well, how could the great wine press be exciting? Well, it ain't exciting for the people that are going to get pressed. That's going to be really a brutal time. But judgment is coming. Hallelujah. And it is. And when you're on the other side of that and giving glory to him and realizing, praise God, what this wonderful word has all been about, his son. There isn't a time that will be more exciting. There won't be a time that will be more glorifying to him. And that's why she's going to get up early and say, it's time to go. That's why she can say to him, thrust in thy sickle. It's the same. Receive it as this. It's time to get up early and go. Thrust in thy sickle, my love. The earth is ripe. Praise God. So I pray you see this. And that's why they're getting down and to this garden time. They're anticipating this judgment, praise God, that will magnify and glorify her husband. And it will do the same to her because he shares it with her. And he that sat on the cloud, it says, he thrust in that sickle and the earth was reaped. Now we know the Lord is the true vine. We know that. The Word of God tells us this. And there is an earthly vine. And this earthly vine here is what this is. And it will be judged. It's a counterfeit. It's sickly fruit. We'll get into this with the great whore. We'll see more. Her fake royalty. Her purple. Her gold. And matter of fact, the blood, the things that she drinks the blood of men. She drinks the blood of the saints and things of that nature because she wants to kill them with such vicious hate and Satan-inspired demonic power. But let's go now on to the 17th verse, and we're going to read about more jointly ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ. This is such an incredible chapter, brothers and sisters, and even going into the 15th chapter tonight, God willing, we'll get into that. It's so marvelous. Once again, the number seven, the seven angels, means completion, perfection, maturity. It's fully accomplished. This is the company of the four living ones. So when we see the seven angels, we see the four living ones, it's interchangeable. It's just a different vision. They're just seeing different attributes. John is seeing different things of this same group, this bridal company. Praise God. Now, verse 17, and another angel, oh my, look at all this happenings in here. And another angel come out of where? Come out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. Amen. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, gathered the vine of the earth, cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. What a mighty time. So not only does she command, I shouldn't say necessarily command, really encourage, commands these activities to begin, encouraging the Lord as well too. She also has her own sharp sickle the same as his, jointly ruling and reigning together with Jesus. Why would he need to? He doesn't need to, does he? But he does because he has a wife. And he wants to share in this. And it's going to be completely shared. It's going to be completely done together. I believe his word. How about you? Huh? Amen? Praise God. She doesn't just stand idly by and say, well, he knows what he's doing. Well, sure he does. But he's enabled me to know too. Because in that precious plan of God, I got a body like unto his own glorious body. When this is happening, brothers and sisters, you talk about like him. It's like him, like him. There isn't anything different. It's him. Hallelujah. That will be doing this, praise God, and fulfilling these things of that wonderful glory that he has shared with her. So, another angel here comes out of the altar, the bride in manifold duties we see here with Jesus. And we notice which had power over fire. Did you notice that there? Verse 18 had the power over the fire. And we've already read about this before back in chapter 8. The angel that took the censer, it was one of those seven again, filled it with fire, cast it out from the altar, cast it out on the earth. We talked about those things. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be a scorching on this earth. That scorching will cause famine. That scorching could be, they're talking about sun flares today again. I guess sometimes these sun flares, they think, has these big old whales sometimes come up and beach themselves. It's kind of a sad thing to see. But it causes all of this chaos and things. But there's going to be great heat upon the earth. The Bible talks about that. You talk about a baking time. They're going to get ready to be baked because they're going to be baked if they don't go on over to believing in the blood in a lake of fire that will never end. But the bride is the one that delivers all of this. So here again, we see this incredible grace of these ones that are glorified together with him that pour forth this. Now, this great winepress that it's speaking of here, this is the Battle of Armageddon. This is the last great battle. This is where the Lord gathers all of those nations together. We saw earlier on about and read about the 200 million man army. We know that those nations come out of the north, the east, they come back even from the west. They all come down because they want to destroy Israel. They're all going to gather in that, it's called Megiddo, in that valley. And that valley, you see a lot of activity even happening today. That comes down through Syria there, and all of that kind of funnels in together as it comes and culminates in that area there in the Middle East. We're seeing Russia amassed there. We're seeing these different countries beginning to come in there with their military forces. This isn't something that's coincidental. There's a reason for all these things happening. And the reason is the word of God. See, the evil don't understand it. They're pretty stupid. Ask Pharaoh. But he was used of the Lord. He wanted to harden his heart. I'll tell you what, I got a job for you. And this is what it's going to do. It's going to magnify me. And this is going to big time magnify God. It's going to be huge in the things that it's going to bring forth into magnifying God in his wonderful triumph of who and what he is like no other time. So this is a beautiful thing to see. Now, this battle of Armageddon, once again, notice how destructive this is. It says that the blood flows to the horse's bridle. That's approximately somewhere around 4 to 5 feet high. So if you took this and thought of a river, you would have a river of blood that would be 4 to 5 feet wide. 1,600 furlongs is 200 miles. But if you take into account that many hundreds of millions of soldiers and different ones that are battling and all of that time and that death and destruction, let me tell you something, it'll fill it up. It'll fill it up. Don't think that God is exaggerating. Man exaggerates. Man, matter of fact, outright lies. But God doesn't. And his word is true. And if he's telling us these things, I'll tell you what, you better believe it because it will come. Those fowls are going to have an amazing time feasting upon all of that death, it says. So this is the way it is. Now, let's move on over to chapter 15 tonight. And we'll begin to go back over these things as well, too, because as we begin to move through the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th chapter, we're going to come back and revisit this. So isn't it wonderful? They say usually you have to hit something three times. I say it's just over and over, as the Word of God says, the much, the more, and that we encourage ourselves in these things, lest at any time we'd let them slip. So we'll begin to hear more and more of this. But in the 15th chapter, the time of the final bowls of wrath are going to be announced. The seven vials are going to be poured forth. The plagues began in chapter 8, but the final plagues now are going to begin to be poured out here soon. Now, this is an announcement, because I'm going to tell you something. The actual pouring forth of these vials, this final judgment of wrath, has to wait another chapter. And the reason it has to wait another chapter is the Lord has to once again bring to prominence his wife. The 15th chapter is one of the most glorious depictions of the Lamb's wife in jointly ruling and reigning together with him that there is in the entire study of Revelation. So let's go ahead and let's read of these wonderful descriptive beauties, beautiful things of his wife. So let's go ahead and read the entire 15th chapter. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. And I want to bring this out because the word marvelous in the Word of God is used many times, Old Testament and New. But the word marvelous is only used to define the Lord. It's only about Jesus. He's marvelous. His ways are marvelous. Everything about him is marvelous. Now, this is speaking of him again, but there's somebody that's included in this marvelous. And I want you to notice who she is. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels. So you could say, a sign great and marvelous, the bride. Amen. The only other time. Praise God. Go ahead and read all the marvelous. You'll have a good time reading about them in the Lord, in the Word of God. And it says, and seven angels having the seven last plagues. And in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over the image, and over his mark, and over his number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For only art holy, for thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. I think this is so incredible because, you know, you think of angels and different things. There's really, you know, they're an angel. They're basically not necessarily listed as male or female. They're an angel in a sense, if you're talking about like a Michael Gabriel and that type of a thing. Yes, they have the names, but they don't manifest those types of things. But here you have these seven angels, and it speaks of their breasts. So let all of these little types come out and just incorporate your heart and say, thank you, Jesus, that you're giving me eyes to see so much in these things. But this is a wonderful thing here, brothers and sisters. The seven angels and all that plagues and all those things, it's fulfilled. So the announcement has been made, and we'll just do a little bit overview of this tonight. But the seven angels have the seven last plagues. But there is a pause. There is a moment. Because a company in heaven now is seen. And this is, they're seen on a sea of glass that is mingled with fire. Now, we saw the sea of glass Earlier on in Revelation chapter 5, as it talked about the throne and the sea of glass that was before the throne. So these ones that have come out of such tribulation, because that's what the mingled with fire mean, that they were cleansed, brothers and sisters. There was a great cleansing that happened. But we see these ones that are now standing on the sea of glass. They died in the Lord, obviously. And we read of these. We read of these in chapter 6, 13, and chapter 14. This is the church of Thyatira. These are those saints, praise God, that receive the ministry of the two witnesses. You remember that? When the two witnesses were ministering out there. These are the saints, brothers and sisters. If you will, they're really the last ones that receive Christ Jesus as Savior in the tribulation. They're the ones that finally receive, and they're also known as the five foolish virgins. Because again, there was that waiting that was so long. The five wise virgins, the 144,000, they got to go into the wedding feast. But this company of believers, and they will not be part of the church. There will be another plan for them, and they're talking about it right here. But they die in the Lord. These are the saints that are under the altar. There's two parts of that company, if you will. There will be saints that are part of Thyatira that die in the Lord. And yes, when you die in the Lord, you'll be present with the Lord. And you see them that they're up in heaven. Amen. And it shows you that they're on this sea of glass. Amen. And there's a beautiful thing going on. They have golden harps and they're singing, praise God, their own wonderful song. God gives them a special particular song. But then the other part of that, if you will, company, there'll be those that live through the tribulation. And those still will be that church of Thyatira. They were saved in the tribulation time. Now, let's get back to talking about, as we see them standing on the sea of glass, they're absolutely cleansed by fire. Notice again, they're not seated in the heavens, are they? And think about how long it's taken them to get to heaven. Whereas we saw all of these other companies in heaven from the very beginning of the tribulation, we saw at that very beginning, at the very trump sound, we saw the bridal company go. And then we saw the innumerable multitude. Amen. We saw them in chapter 7. Then in chapter 12, we saw the 144,000. They're arriving in heaven. And now finally here, we get to chapter 14. And we see now these ones, these saints that are the martyrs under the altar that have died, that refused the mark of the beast, that refused the name of the beast, that refused any of that stuff. And I love their testimony. But think about that again. When that started going down, when that forcing of the mark of the beast and all of that stuff was starting to be enforced and on the people, that was in the latter half of the tribulation. So that's how long it was that these people were received up into heaven. So for anybody to say that all Christians go up at the same time at one time, you've never read the Word of God. You never have. Because it's so very clear there are different companies in heaven at different times doing different things. And this wonderful little company is a precious and amazing company. Notice they sing the song of Moses. In Exodus 15, the song of Moses was sung when they were delivered through the Red Sea. So that was the song of Moses. So why is this company singing the song of Moses? Well, it was a great deliverance. We understand that. But remember how we were encouraged that the majority of these people that will be part of this church of Thyatira, those were Jews. Didn't mean that they have to be exclusively, but the majority of them will. This is why they have this song. This is why there's this encouragement in them. And this is why those that live through the tribulation, and even these saints, I don't know exactly how the Lord is going to prepare this, but I believe this entire company of this Thyatira, as it tells us, go on back to Revelation chapter 3. In chapter 2. This is what it says about the church of Thyatira. So hopefully this continues to bring this all together because we keep going back and forth, reading over the same things. You know, sometimes it takes a lot of reading. Sometimes it takes a lot of times over something for it to really absorb in by the grace of God. But look at verse 26 again. This again, speaking of church of Thyatira. And he that overcometh and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. When is this nation power going to happen? It's going to happen in the millennium. See, that's when, again, that wonderful authority and Israel is going to be set up for those 1,000 years. And there's going to be that ruling and that reigning of Israel over those 1,000 years. And it says those that, again, keep that wonderful faith until the end, meaning the end of that tribulation time, those will be the ones that go into the millennial time that will reign upon the earth. Hallelujah. That will be the ones that will be giving out the word of God, ministering the word of God. We understand again throughout the Old Testament times, that'll be Israel. Israel will be the greatest evangelist of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the millennial time. Praise the Lord. And I know it's hard to believe, but it's not when you read the word of God, because that's what it says. And this will be this wonderful company. No wonder the ones of that company that are seen in heaven are singing the song of Moses because of this wonderful deliverance. And you think about, how did they even get out there anyways? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen? None of them were going to participate in going across the Red Sea unless there was blood over the doorpost. That's right. So know it. It was still the blood that parted it, took them across all of that. So we thank God in it. That is his precious encouragement to us. All right, moving on. The song emphasizes that the company of believers will mainly be the Jewish nation. Once again, they have their own beautiful song. But this is the song of Moses. And again, Lord God Almighty, just and true. You love it. And it shows that they're coming out of the midst of the tribulation. We talked about this. Now, the fourth verse of this chapter is very encouraging here, because this gives us insight, as I just mentioned, into the soon coming millennial time. After the 7-year tribulation, there is the 1,000-year millennial, when all the nations will come and worship before the Lord. And these ones, as well as the ones that live through the millennium, will be those that reign upon the earth, that preach the word of God. And oh, what a time it will be. Yeah, this is exciting. Now, let's get to some real exciting stuff in this chapter. In verse 5, notice here, and I love that. And after that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. This was the testimony of heaven that was opened. This is like the announcement of the announcements that we've had. Here's the announcement. It's open. Here's what's coming forth. And notice what's coming forth. And notice again, it's the temple. It's that place where only the pillars, that wonderful Philadelphia church is in that temple. The bridal company, the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony was open. And can you imagine, what do we see there? The 7 angels, that bridal company having the 7 plagues. Now listen to this description that we see here. They are clothed, hallelujah, in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Now, we've read about this many times already in this study, but here we go again. Once again, that pure and white linen. That word white is lampros. That word lampros, white, is mentioned 3 times in the Word of God. It's right here in this. It's also in Revelation 19:8. Go on over there and let's read that real quick here. Revelation 19:8. This again is the Lamb's wife. And it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and lampros. And then the only other place, brothers and sisters, that it is the likeness, the readiness, is where it speaks of that wonderful lampros white of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the white that is the transparent, the brilliant white. Even the white of the 24 elders, that's the leucos white. It's a brilliant white. It's a wonderful light, white, but it's not the lampros white. It's not the like him glory. That's the difference here, brothers and sisters. Again, in all of these little subtleties, This is why she is the magnificence, hallelujah, of his glory. She descends from heaven having the glory, the lampros white, hallelujah. And it says that she's clear as crystal. There's a transparency to her because all you see is the Lord. Hallelujah, see? So we see this time and time again, and it's just fantastic and wonderful. So it is. It's nothing but this. Amen? See, when we rightfully divide the Word of God by the Holy Ghost that encourages us, there's nothing but this. This is it. We can talk about all of the cerebral theology and all of this kind of a type, but if you're going to cut to the chase of truly line upon line under Paul's gospel, there is but one mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and this is his bride. Hallelujah. So, let's keep going. So we see the white, that transparent white. And notice here again, they have those golden girdles guarding their breasts. And I love that. The breasts, once again, speak of a fully mature one. Only the Shulamite had that. You think about, again, the Song of Solomon. She had breasts like towers. He fed upon them. It's just so romantic and so beautiful because this is who she is. Why does it bring in such vivid description of, again, these seven angels? Because they're not angels as man wants to think of this angel. We see this in every type and shadow and every evidence. This is the bridal company. Hallelujah. And this wonderful, mature woman, this one with these this golden girdle that is, again, upon her breast, shows that she can nurture, she can feed, she is of age. This golden girdle is the glory and truth. It's the fullness and love, spirit and truth ministry. This is the power of all authority as she rules and reigns jointly together with him. And there's a beautiful thing about that wonderful word girded, where it says girded. That word girded means the knowledge of the truth. And you think about one of the greatest rejoicings of any verse we know in the Word of God. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That all men would be saved and come to the complete, exact, full knowledge of the truth. This is what this is. This is what this girded, wonderful breasts are speaking of. And this golden truth, it's the fullness of the abundance of the full knowledge of truth. And she's got it. And that's why he is ravished, because she knows him. She knows him. Hallelujah. She knows his heart. She knows his ways. She knows his grace. Hallelujah. And she knows that now. Praise God. Notice here as we close this up. In verse 7, it says, and one of the four beasts gave one of the seven angels. So here John is seeing, yes, he's seeing four beasts, he's seeing the seven angels, but it's still the same company. You notice that they're doing the same things. They're interchangeably doing ruling and reigning together jointly with Jesus Christ. It's beautiful that we see this harmony going on at this time. And we see, again, this ruling and reigning together with Jesus as the bride pours forth the judgment. Now, the temple, it says here at the very end, was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Does that ring a bell? Does it remind anybody of, remember when the temple was filled with smoke? Amen. Remember when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies and in between the wings of the cherubim, and they set it down in there, and the priests were all in there and everybody was getting happy, but something started to happen. Smoke started to come out. And it got so thick, you know what happened? The priests had to get out of there. See, you don't read about the 24 elders here, do you? Because they don't partake in this. This is the Lamb's wife. And Jesus, this is theirs. There is a wonderful encouragement in all of this. But when this gets into this, when it gets into the quiet time, when it gets into this time, you're going to read about the seven angels. You're going to read about the four living ones. Praise God. And then after all of it's done, all that's going to appear is the bride adorned descending from heaven. You see that? You see? See, she's just seen here, and she's seen here, and she's seen here. Just like we've seen with Jesus. It's been so wonderful. We see the Son of Man. And then we saw the one that, you know, had the feet of brass. Huh? And then we saw the sapphire in the midst of the throne. Yep. Man! But it's here. Amen? So it's wonderful, brothers and sisters, wonderful. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, from the power. No man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So until this is done, nobody's going to enter in there. And it's wondrous, again, as we've seen that vision back in Kings and Chronicles, we saw that same thing of the smoke that filled the temple that was there with the cherubim in the presence of God. Everybody else had to evacuate. The only thing that remained was the Lord and his bride. It never changes. The mystery of the ages is Christ Jesus and his wife. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen? All right. Oh, what will it be to be there? Amen, amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.